It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I sure hope former Chicago Blackhawks great Grant Mulvey is not listening, because he was your previous best friend.
He is my best friend in the whole wide world.
I think you may have just found a new best friend.
Mike Leonard is runner-up. He's my new second best friend in the whole wide world. Mike is an Emmy Award-winning 32-year NBC Features correspondent and filmmaker, and has a new television series coming out called In Common with Mike Leonard. Hi, Mike. Nice to see
you.
Hi,
Bill. How are you? Hi, Wendy.
Excellent.
Hi
Excellent.
There, Mike. You guys were talking about something and showing pictures, and you'd think it would be of your wives or your kids or something like that.
Or the new grandchild. Who-
right. Oh, congratulations.
Oh, yeah. How many is this?
That's eight.
Eight
wow.
grandchildren.
She was born, her name is Marjorie after my mom,
Aww.
And they call her Maggie, and she was born last Tuesday.
That's fantastic.
Congrats.
That's excellent.
Yeah, but forget her. Let's talk about
Yeah,
the
more
ball,
important
you know?
Thing is,
yeah.
Mike has, I had Mike on several years ago at another radio station, and just kind of incidentally, he mentioned that he loves wiffle ball and has built a wiffle ball stadium in his yard, and it is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Thank you. It's
it
pretty
really
cool.
Is.
And it started with my son, the father of the new baby. We won't talk about that anymore, though. And,
no, you can.
No. And he, when he was about 14, 13, there were no boys in the neighborhood. So we just started, I just started pitching wiffle balls to him, and we'd hit it in the street. And then, you know, you go, we could do better than this. We need a backstop, and we need fences, and then eventually a scoreboard. And
A scoreboard.
And, yeah, and it's in the front, it's the front yard, and it's Winnetka, and you know Winnetka, so it looks different.
That's a great way of putting it.
People go by, and they're either horrified or thrilled.
Yeah.
And, you know, home runs occasionally hit a car going by, too.
It's a wiffle
it's
ball.
A wiffle ball. It's
not going to hurt.
It's a plastic ball, I know.
You didn't have to convince your wife. There was no time where you said, here's an idea, and she went, yeah, that's not going to fly.
We
she
just,
went for
no,
this.
No, well, we it was that whole permission thing, and, you know, what is that line?
Easier to ask for permission than forgiveness.
I just did it. And
or the other way around.
We bought, the biggest thing was the scoreboard, because I don't do any finances. I never have. And so I thought we needed a scoreboard and a remote control scoreboard. So
of course.
I looked and found one for about $600 or $700. And I just pulled the trigger and ordered it, thinking that she'd miss it. You know, she wouldn't see that in the list of bills. But of course, Mick, what's this thing for $600? I don't know. I'm in the other room. And I'm just going, just pay it.
Right.
Pay it.
Don't ask questions.
And then I hear the phone, beep, boop, boop. She's dialing, and I run in there. It's a scoreboard. Like on my knees. You need one, because we do, you know.
It is.
She's very forgiving, though.
As of now, Mike, it is not set up for night games, right?
Oh, we've had night games.
Have you
games.
Done night games here? How'd you pull that off?
We bought lights at like Home Depot, those big construction kind of things you see.
On like a little tripod thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we had a porch put on our house, and I had them put lights on a porch and a light on a big tree in center field. So it's pretty cool. We had
You're my hero, by the way. Sorry, Sully Sullenberger, but you, Mike, are my hero.
I did that, too. I landed a plane once. No.
No big deal.
On a wiffle ball field.
Yeah. Oh, good.
All right, so who plays? I mean, it's not like people can just walk up and play. This is your field.
It started with me and Brendan, and then, of course, a few of his friends. He's now 32. My brother, who lives nearby, he's 70.
Mm-hmm.
His son, who is in his, I think, late 30s or around that. Then my neighbor, who's 40-ish.
So this isn't a peewee league.
A
17-year-old. This is like a...
No, no. We've had a couple women play, and that caused a big furor on the minds of some of the players.
Did it? Yeah?
Yeah, well, you know, it depends. You have to be able to play.
Yeah, right.
Because we don't want to have to go underhand. And I'm not saying that, you know, because of a male-female thing, because one of the women was a college softball player.
Oh.
But still, one of the guys had a problem. That,
okay, so wait, it's overhand like baseball?
Yeah, throw it. Oh, we throw it hard.
Fast pitch?
Fast pitch.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we
Serious?
Use a ball that's not really like a wiffle ball curves too much.
Yeah.
So this is a ball with round holes all around it, and put a little piece of white tape on it so it moves like a baseball.
It breaks a little bit when you throw
it. And the games are, we play 2 4-inning games every week, every Sunday, and the scores are sometimes 4-3.
Oh, they're close. Good.
Or if I'm
low
pitching,
scoring.
It's 9-0 against me. You know, but it's good. We keep stats and all of that. It's
throughout the
it's
season.
Fun. Yeah, yeah. It's something to do. It's not that I'm a huge. I guess I'm not a huge baseball fan. I was an athlete in college, but it's just a way of having fun.
Yeah.
And bringing my son back from the city.
Oh,
you know,
that's
build
pretty
it
sweet.
And he will come. So they do. They do show up every week.
That's beautiful.
How long have you been doing it every Sunday?
15 years or so. You know,
that's isn't that
awesome.
Excellent?
Yeah.
We had to call it off last week because of the birth, which kind of ticked off a lot of others. But every now and then that happens.
You don't get a fill-in player, someone off the bench to take his spot?
I had to be down at the hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's
like that,
true. So. I would take more of you.
Yeah. People think I'm a big idiot talking about like this. I'm a jerk. I'm, you know, obviously kidding about the children and stuff like that, but it's great. I mean, it's fun.
That sounds like so much fun. And then ideally, you can't field a 9-man team on each team.
It's like 4-on-4 or 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Some shrubs and trees had to be moved.
Yeah.
I did. There was a tree in center field that had a bunch of branches that were cutting out over the right field area, and my wife had said, "Don't do anything to the
don't
trees."
Don't touch the trees.
So she had a part-time job twice a week and would go up to the store and when she'd go I'd take a ladder and I'd saw one branch off a week and then hide it. And these were pretty big branches. So if you see the tree now, it all breaks that way. You know, one direction, the other side is just nothing.
It looks like ComEd cut it around the
wires.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't, but she didn't notice, so it worked.
You're the best.
You're pretty sneaky in a really great way.
This is excellent. All right, the reason you're here, one of the main reasons we've got you here is this new show, In Common with Mike Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need to know about this show, Mike?
Well, I just remembered from all my stories on NBC, I did over 1,000 of them, and I picked them myself. And they're mostly just regular people. And I've been to every red state and every blue state.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got in big-time arguments because we were just talking about life. And there were no wedge issues thrown in. I don't avoid that stuff. But when I do these stories, and I could be in the rural Louisiana or Mississippi or up in Greenwich Village, and we all got along. And so it's kind of about what we share in common. Because as you know right now, it's a very divisive time.
Absolutely.
And all it is arguing about this and that and this and that, and people don't believe in facts anymore and et cetera. So there's just a whole lot of people out there. And it's not one of those good news shows, kind of a sappy good news show. It's funny and I think it's interesting. But it's just about everything we share in common, which is way more than what we just disagree about. It's hard to say this without sounding kind of like it's one of those silly, you know, feel-good shows, and mm-hmm. it's just about mailmen and barbers and businessmen and women and all the rest who are going through life and facing challenges and doing it. It's not a story about or a show about average people doing extraordinary things. It's just normal things,
everyday,
mm-hmm. right?
Average Joes,
right? Yeah, and I from the Today Show. I once did a story. I picked my own stories, which was great. So I could do stories on people with interesting names or towns. And I did a story on a guy named Joe Blow once. And I did a story on a town called Boring, Oregon. And it was named after a family, still has people there, Bob and Sue Boring.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they said it was kind of, it was okay being called, you know, the last name is Boring. But when they went to restaurants, it would be Boring Party of Two. And they'd get up with you. So just for that reason, I would go out to Oregon to do the story on them and other things like that. So in that, you know, in that environment, I found that these were just regular people who had a different name
or right.
people in towns. I went to Nobob, Kentucky and Waterproof, Louisiana. And so when you go to a town like that, just because of the name, there's nobody in the town necessarily who is doing anything different
mm-hmm.
or extraordinary. So, but I'd always find a story there, and that's how it started. I did a story once on. I was looking up, I wanted to do a story making fun of TV people, and I wanted to say ass on the air.
Yeah.
So I found this organization of American Association of Spotted Asses. These people collect. You know, they're like donkeys.
Yeah.
And so I went out there, and so then I thought, well, I can't say ass on the air because I want to make fun of censorship, sort of.
Yeah.
So every time we mentioned the word ass, we beeped it, but I didn't beep it. I recorded sounds of these donkeys going, and so whenever he said, yeah, it's the American Association of Spotter, would go like that. And went through the whole story, and it was a story about censorship, but also about spotted
Beautiful.
You know, that kind of thing. And in that, out of that, like I say, that was, I think, in Montana. So, you know, politically, I don't know whether we agreed or not on politics, but we just certainly had a laugh about his spotted asses. And and so I just feel that the whole bunch of people out there, we don't necessarily have to be at war with each other. You know, I don't necessarily have to go down to, I don't know, rural Georgia and have people say, oh, you're one of those big city guys, or you're NBC, you guys twist the truth, you know. And I don't want to get into those discussions because you'll never win. I mean, I just rather just talk about life.
Yeah.
When you put all that aside, politics and religion and things that you would disagree upon when in a conversation, do you find that we are all so similar in many, many ways?
We are, but I can't change the way people think.
Right.
I can't. You know how that is. They're just going to be that way. And I know studies have been done, and, you know, they'll talk about satire, and they'll say the Colbert show. People from the left would say, that's great, he's ridiculing Rush Limbaugh. Mm-hmm. And people from the right say, he's correct.
Right.
So it didn't have the effect if the effect was to change somebody's mind, it didn't at all. So I feel that, you know, I'd like to get the facts out there, but if people aren't going to listen to the facts, I just want to, okay, let's at least get along first.
Yeah.
And perhaps then we can understand each other if we get along. But it's kind of scary right now.
Oh, yeah.
The world has changed, and I'm not blaming any one person, not really, at least not today. But it's just there's so much hatred and name-calling. It's like we're back on the playground in grade school.
Right. And like I said, in my travels, and I retired from NBC in 2012, so it wasn't that long ago, I never had a problem anywhere. I mean, I could be inner city, I could be this and that. Now, certainly, I'm not naive, and there are places you go where it's really dangerous, and you know, you are taking your life into your hands. But in most communities, no matter what, I was fine, and the people were fine. We just talked about life, and it was more encouraging. Right now, we go, well, if we can't get along, then what are we going to do?
Right. Then we got a problem. Mike Leonard is here, award-winning NBC TV features correspondent and filmmaker. He has a new show, In Common with Mike Leonard. And where and when, Mike? When can people see this?
Well, we're filming right now, so it's on WTTW, yeah. And we don't know exactly when it's going to start. So I'm not here to promote any of that, but we've done a bunch of the shows, about 10 of them so far.
Good.
And they replay them. I think on the 18th of September, they're replaying at 6 o'clock. It's a Sunday. A story I did about Irish immigration or human migration, basically, in general. Yeah. And based on my father, my grandfather, grandmother, who came over with nothing into New York, then Paterson, New Jersey. And then now Paterson has a different group of immigrants.
Yeah.
The Irish moved on. And it's a story about that told through the family, you know, one family's sort of circumstances.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah. We'll come back with more with Mike Leonard. Stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, we're talking with Mike Leonard, and honestly, I wish we could just keep the microphones on the whole time. We were talking about some interesting things off the air as well. You're an amazing man. Let me just say that.
I don't know. I think it's been amazing that I've been able to become a voice of people like me who was not, you know, I wasn't destined to do this kind of job. I was a struggling student, as we talked about before, and all the rest, and didn't get into TV till I was in my early 30s. My wife is, you know, a saint and an angel we had three kids and no money for, you know, holding on.
Yeah.
While I said I want to try to get a job at 32.
Right.
And people, you know, it sounds irresponsible, but I think it would have been irresponsible for me not to try to do it. I know your children want to do something creative and
follow your
passion. You gotta let them, right?
That's the thing. At some point you realize I kind of only get one go around, so you got to take a chance sometimes and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, it's always nice to have a plan B, but boy, has it worked for you.
Yeah, and it's also a great experience because you're going out towards into that edge of ignorance where you're not sure of what's going on. And that's where all discoveries are made, apart from what you know. And the thing is, it's kind of like if Lewis and Clark had Waze, they wouldn't leave because they, you know, like, you know, trapper with 1,000 feet, trapper with axe or tomahawk in shoulder on the shoulder up ahead. And they go, it's too dangerous out there. And if I knew how many times I would have screwed up on TV, you know, that was really embarrassing as I got started on live TV. I thought, well, I don't know if I can do that. But I didn't know. And so you make a mistake and you make a mistake, but you learn from the mistakes. So I think kind of what I didn't know was it was an advantage for me. And I had my parents were not that way. My mom, you know, people talk about helicopter, you know, parents or helicopter moms. My mom was like a spelunker mom. It's like, where's mom? Where's dinner? Like, are you down there? Like, hey, I've got a hockey game. Do you want to go see it? And like, drip, drip, drip. Like,
oh, no.
You know? I mean, she was great. She was perfect. But she wasn't, it's too cold. I'm not going to the game.
Yeah.
And she was a great mom, but she wasn't all over me. Yeah. And all over us.
But being a mom, you feel like you can't be like that. Like if you don't act excited about your kids' play or their little league game, then you're a bad mom. But you have great...
Well, it was a different time.
I guess,
you know, I don't think... My mother never saw one of my hockey games. And I played Division I hockey. Mm. I would try it out for a professional team. I was a decent player. She never saw one. And it wasn't that big of a deal because I didn't see many other moms there. I'd see two or three dads there. But now the stands are filled. Yeah. Now, I don't think that's a bad thing. It was just a different time. And
no, but you're shamed if you don't go, too.
Now it's, yeah, now
you're
it's
competing with
thing.
The other parents.
Yeah, you didn't go. What's wrong with you?
Right.
But, again, it was a whole different ball game. And we had, being one of four boys and goofy kids and kind of mischievous, we had – and my mom was that way. She was kind of a tomboy. And we didn't have any pets in our house or anything like that. We just played ball. I remember one time my brother Kevin bought a chameleon at a circus. You could buy them. There was a guy going around with a card, and chameleons were on it. And with a little leash, like a little thread and a safety pin. So the idea was that if you were wearing a plaid shirt and you pinned it, that the chameleon might turn plaid, you know? And so you bought a – Kevin comes home from the circus with a chameleon. Like, oh, wow. So we thought, well, we better let it have some sun today. And we put it on our back stoop. And I came out in the back, and Pogo, the next door neighbor's dog, which back when dogs could run free, he just looked at me, and I just saw this thread in out of his mouth. Yeah. So he ate the chameleon.
Pogo had lunch.
Pogo had lunch. So I shoot him off, and he sat on the grass and was waiting for the Pogo to turn green, like the grass, you know, but it didn't happen. But so we would concoct ideas about Pogo, about what he's, you know, what color will he be if he's on the stand and all that kind of thing. But
sure, he'd pick up the chameleon characteristics, wouldn't he? That's how
it
works.
I would think, you know, you'd have a chameleon, you'd have to.
He would have to.
But that was the kind of thing you grow up with a, you know, there was no hovering kind of thing. And so my brothers and myself, we could just talk about the craziest things when we're 8
or 9
or 10 or something like that.
That's so funny. This isn't fair to ask you because we only have a minute, but I know you've done countless stories. You've covered countless stories over your decades of service. Is there one that is always stuck in your head? Is there one that you'll never forget?
It's one of the last stories I did, and I've said this before, was on a mailman, a Chicago mailman, an African-American guy named James Hundley, who I met. He serviced at a building there. He's just a mailman. But I asked where he grew up, and he said Grenada, Mississippi. I said, how old were you when you left? Early 20s. He's the nicest guy in the world. Says hello to everybody. Everybody knows him. He's never seemingly had a bad day. And I said, Grenada, Mississippi, how old were you when you left? He said, early 20s. I said, so you were down there when all that bad stuff was happening. He said, I was a marcher. I was jailed. I was spat upon. And so I thought, I'm going to do a story on this guy because, you know, he was a foot soldier in the civil rights movement. And he has all this love. And he saw all this hate. I think we talked about this before. I'm not sure. But that just keeps coming back to me because you'll see this mailman, this black mailman walking down the street and people go, you know, some people go, oh, it's a civil service guy. They don't do any work, you know, that kind of stuff. He was one of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life. And I don't think anybody would have known about him. But now when people see somebody who they might typecast as something, I always think of James Hundley. And that story never would have made the air if I had to pitch it.
Right.
Because they'd say, well, what did he do? Did he rescue somebody? I said, no, he's just a mailman. But he was a foot soldier.
Yeah.
And he couldn't stay in Mississippi because he was a foot soldier. He had to move. And he came to Chicago and became a mailman. And so it wasn't spectacular, but I think it epitomizes what I did. And I've been to the Olympics and all these other things. And I always just kind of circle back to James Hundley.
Real life. That's what you cover so perfectly. Really quickly here, Kathy wanted to talk to you. Kathy, you had something to say to Mike Leonard?
Yeah, Mike, it's Kathy Lauer Van Treek, and I just wanted to thank you for you being so real.
Oh, thanks, Kath. I was spent some time with Chuck.
We appreciate it. We really do, Mike, and you are one in a million.
Thank you,
and I
Kathy.
Think everybody needs to know how wonderful you are.
You're so nice
and
to call.
You touch everybody's heart, no matter what you do or where you are, whether you're at Grand Foods or whatever you do. You're just very much appreciated, Mike. You make Winnetka, you make the North Shore just so much better.
Oh, you're really, really nice,
Kathy. Take care of us, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Kathy. Her dad, I used to play hockey with him. He's in his 80s now. We had a Sunday morning thing, and he had cancer recently. So I would take him for a walk this summer. I only live about 3 blocks away, so it was no big deal. But it was fun because he's holding on. He's recovered. He's doing fine. And
good.
Kathy is his daughter.
It is a big deal because a lot of people don't take the time to give that arm for someone to grab onto.
Yeah, well, I happen to have time. You know, I work out of my house, so mm-hmm. I do it. And it's really not hard. And I've met certain people who are well known, and you go, hi, you know, good job, and they look at you like they're being bothered, you know. And I won't mention names. I'm thinking it's not so hard to say thank you, is
right.
it?
No, it sure isn't.
Shouldn't be.
No.
Great to see you again.
Nice seeing you, Bill.
Come by more often.
I will.
Really.
Come to the stadium.
Oh, good luck trying to get rid of me. I'll be there every Sunday.
Bill's in the backyard. Yeah, right. He's holding on
to
big boy.
It's Wednesday morning. What is he doing? We play on Sunday. I just want to beat the crowd. Mike Leonard's
Thank
new show,
much.
In Common with Mike Leonard. You can see it there on WTTW. No official dates yet,
right?
But coming in the future.
Coming, yes.
You know what? Come back when it's ready to be announced, because we'd love to talk
That'd
to
be
you.
Fun.
Excellent. Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
You. Thank you.
A quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.